We're doing the Drashot HaRan. We're in the middle of the fifth speech, and the Ran had quoted that in order for a prophet to get prophecy, he must be Chacham Gibor Ashir Anav. He must be wise, brave, wealthy, humble. We learn them all out from Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Ran is now going to expand on this. Aval Mashe Hitzrich. What page is that in your edition? So Samech Bet in the Shalem edition, Kuf Ayin Aleph in the Mosad Rav Kook edition. Aval Mashe Hitzrich LaNavi Sheyeh Gibor VeAshir Tzrich Tam. But that which Rabbi Yonasan says that the prophet has to be brave and wealthy, that needs explanation. Pershuk Tzatam Farshim. And some of the commentaries already explained, and he's referring to Maimonides in Shmona Prakim, in the seventh chapter of the introduction to Pirkei Avos. The Rambam explains, Ki ratza be'omro gibor, mi shemagbir sichlo al ta'avotav. That don't take the word gibor literally. It doesn't mean a brave warrior, but rather, ezu gibor, who is really brave, he who overcome his own nature. So the idea of gibor is one whose mind controls his desires. The Ashir and the Rambam over there also says wealthy doesn't literally mean he has to have a lot of money, but it means shetiyelo midata istapkut. That ezu Ashir, asamech bechelko, wealthy means if you're happy with your lot, then you're wealthy. So the Rambam says this line in Talmud is not to be taken literally. A prophet doesn't have to have wealth, a prophet doesn't have to be strong, a prophet doesn't have to be brave. What does it mean? A prophet has to have those traits. He has to be powerful in his nature, that his mind overcomes his desires. He has to be wealthy in his attitude to life, that he's happy with his lot. But he doesn't literally have to have money. That's Maimonides' interpretation. Hishvu gibol ve'ashir she'amar Rabbi Yonatan lo'otam ha'muzkirim b'divrei ben zoma be'avot. He says that when Rabbi Yonasan said he has to be a gibor and ashir, it's the way Ben Zoma says in Pirkei Avos in the fourth chapter in the beginning, ezu gibor kovesh kitzro, ezu ashir asamech bechelko, as we explained. Ve'en divreim nechonim. Notice he doesn't mention Maimonides by name because he's about to disagree. He says they're wrong. That's not what it means. Shein ken, achar she'ezkir anav, lo haya tzich la'ezkir gibor ve'ashir. Because if that's true, then after he mentioned that the prophet has to be humble, he doesn't have to mention that he is brave and wealthy. Because there is an order to the development of traits. And the highest trait you develop is humility. So if you've made it to the level of humility, obviously you've already overcome your desires, you've already been brave and wealthy and you're happy with your lot, because those are stepping stones when it comes to developing traits up to the trait of humility. The Talmud already tells us in the first chapter of Avodah Zarah, it tells us there's an order of developing one's traits, and then it says, the greatest trait is humility. After you've developed other traits, you can attain a level of humility. Hine be'aru ki mi she'esiga anava. So the Talmud really explained that if one has already attained humility, i'efshar mibli she'yakdim yakdimu lo tara v'kdusha v'yirat chet v'yeter ha'ma'alot ha'muzkerot sham. He has to first attain all the other levels of developing his personality, purity and holiness and fear of sin. As you have a whole ordering there, you have a whole long brisa developing how you should develop your traits. V'kevan sheken min hayadua shu moshel alitzov shegi al midat ha'istapkut. So if he has to attain a level of purity and holiness and yirat chet, obviously he's already attained the level that he controls his desires and he's not running after the worldly pleasures and he's happy with his lot. Because if his desire is in control of him, and he's always worried about what he doesn't have, so then he is not going to get to those levels of holiness and purity and humility. If humility is the top level after holiness, after purity, after yirat chet, it's way after gevura of conquering your desires, and osher of being happy with your lot. So he says, that's not right what the Rambam said. And furthermore, their understanding of that line in Talmud is difficult from that page of Talmud itself. Meaning if you analyze it in context, that doesn't work, that understanding. Over there, the Talmud in Tractate Nedarim, over there in that chapter, the Talmud says, I'll prove it to you that in order to be a prophet, he must be brave. How so? How do I know he has to be a powerful person? Because the verse says, that Moshe spread out the tent over the Mishkan. So Moshe, what does this show me? That Moshe was a mighty person, that he was a giant. Rav explained, you have the Mishkan, and someone has to spread the tent over it. Moshe himself did it. And it says, each beam was 10 amos tall, 20 feet tall. How do you spread a tent over a series of beams that are 20 feet tall? Well, obviously, Moshe was bigger than 20 feet tall. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was bigger than 20 feet tall, yeah, Moshe was a pretty powerful person. So you see, the Talmud says, from here you see, you want to get prophecy? You have to be a powerful person. Seems to be very literal. It's not talking about his conquering his desires. So the Ran says, look at the Talmud. When the Talmud wants to illustrate that he has to be a powerful person, it gives us a physical description of Moshe. That he was physically capable of spreading a tent over beams that were 20 feet tall. Vikshusham. What'd you say?
So it's saying that Moshe was literally 20 feet tall, and you have another that said that Paro was something like 3 feet tall?
Yeah.
So why was it such a problem to free the slaves?
He had lions and tigers and bears, oh my, all around him. Vikshusham. So the Talmud says, Ve'ima darich ve'katin. Who says he was a powerful person, Moshe? Maybe he was a gentle giant. Maybe he was arich, he was very tall, vikatin, but very weak. I had a friend who was huge, but he was scared of going anywhere. You know, he was scared. He was huge. Mamash, he couldn't sit down on one chair. Like, he was huge, but he couldn't, he was scared. Anyone who saw him would get scared, but he was scared of everyone else. So the Talmud says, "Ela min adenka," but rather we can prove it from a different verse. "Dichtiva etbos b'shnei anluchot." Moshe, when he's describing his descent from Sinai, as he destroyed the tablets, at the end of the 40 years, as he's reviewing things, he says, "And then I came down Sinai and I grabbed the two tablets." Vitanya, and we have a tradition. What was the size of the luchos? It says luchot orkan shishav orkan shishav ovyan shlosha. The luchos were 6 amos long, 12 feet long, v'rochban shisha, and 6 amos wide, so that's 12 feet wide, 12 feet by 12 feet, v'ovyan shlosha, and their thickness, the other dimension was 3 amos, that's 6 feet. So that's a very heavy 2 slabs of stone, 12 feet by 12 feet by 6 feet. Okay, those are tremendous slabs of stone. If he was able to carry that, okay, now I see you've proven to me that it's not just his height, but that he was very powerful. Ashir, the Talmud says, how do you know that in order to attain prophecy, one must be wealthy? God tells Moshe, you carve out the second tablets. And we understand, why does it say lecha? You do it. Psoltan shelcha yeh, to tell us that as he'd carve it out, the shavings that fell off would belong to him. So you see that God gave him this precious stone so that he'd become wealthy. Moshe wasn't interested in anything worldly, but God said, no, I want, as you carve it out, the shavings that fall off are yours. Psol lecha, shave it out for you, so that you get the shavings, you get the stone that gets chiseled out, and that precious stone will make you wealthy. So you see, God wanted him to be wealthy because a prophet has to be wealthy. The Talmud also proves it from Jonah, that when Jonah went down to Jaffa, when he went down to Yafo, so he saw a ship, and he said, I want to set sail now, and he paid for the ship. Rabbi Yochanan says, what does it mean he paid for the ship? He said, I'm paying for everyone on board, just go. So you see, he was wealthy, it wasn't a problem. Rabbi Rumainis Rumnu says, you know how much that cost? 4,000 golden dinars. So the Ran says it's pretty simple. Look at the Talmud over there in context. The Talmud explains, Gibor v'ashir, what does it mean that he's powerful and wealthy? Kipshuto, literally. Not like Maimonides says. Not that he's powerful and that he conquers his desires. Not that he's wealthy and that he's happy with his lot. But very simply, he's wealthy because he's got a big bank account. He's powerful because he's got big muscles. That's what it means. You see it from the Talmud. Ve'od yiksha aleilu amfarshim. And a third question on Maimonides' understanding. Notice his respect for Maimonides. He doesn't mention him by name. He's saying, it's wrong. What Maimonides says is not the understanding of the Talmud. He's going to prove it from a third angle. Mashamu b'perek hamatznia. The Talmud says in Shabbos, in the chapter called Hamatznia, ve'leilef mi Moshe. The Talmud over there says maybe we should learn, just like Moshe was extraordinarily tall, that all the Levites were extraordinarily tall. The Talmud answers, Dilma Moshe Shani. Maybe Moshe was extraordinary. How do you know that the other Levites were tall? Maybe he was unusually tall. Because one tradition says that God's presence only settles on someone who is wise, powerful, wealthy, and tall. Tall. Maimonides, if you say that it can't be wealthy means wealthy, because who cares if you have money? That's a physical thing. It must be that you've conquered your desires and you're happy with your lot. That's your understanding, Maimonides. Well, what are you going to do with the concept of tall? What trait can you attribute being tall to? Tall is a physical thing. You can't work that one out based on Pirkei Avos. What?
Confidence.
No. So the Ran doesn't entertain that thought. The Ran says, you can't say anything about your traits when it comes to being tall. Elei karam shel dvarim, but pshat, says the Ran, pshat in the Gemara is, ki gibor v'ashir kipshutam. When the Talmud says, prophecy only settles on someone who is powerful and wealthy, it means literally powerful and wealthy. And now the Ran says, now that I've explained what it means, we have to come back to the question at hand. Why? Why does a person have to be powerful and wealthy in order to have prophecy? That needs explanation. But his first step was to argue with Maimonides, to explain his three proofs why he disagrees with Maimonides. Now he's going to have to explain, okay, so then why are these necessary in order to attain prophecy? And that's what we'll see next week, Bezrat Hashem.